Each one greet you in Jesus' name. It's good to be in the house of God with believers this morning. It's a beautiful day to worship the Lord. As I was preparing my heart to bring a message here this morning, sometimes it can be maybe I make it a bigger battle or a bigger struggle than what it really should be. But as I was pondering it, I went outside to get the car ready to come here. And as I was going over it, I had to get it serviced, had to get it clean. I use it for work, so it collects a lot of stuff at times. And the thing of preparation began to run through my mind. Preparation. It's something we all do daily, whether it's family life, getting the children up, whether it's just men getting ready for work, organizing work. It's something we do daily. And this morning, thinking of the worship service, the preparing that took place to come here. I don't see anybody in their PJs this morning, and I don't see. We all took time to get ready. We put on our best to worship the Lord, and that's good and right. But most of all, as we were then thinking of the devotions, how David prepared himself to go fight that Philistine. The people of that day thought they should put some things on him. They put the carnal warfare on him. And he said, no, he can't go because he didn't prove them, or he wasn't familiar with him. He went with the things he had, the things he was familiar with. And this morning, as we look at our lives, and as we prepare our lives, how familiar are we with our weapon, the Word of God? And that's what I would like to look at for a few minutes this morning. Our preparation, and look how people prepared their life for different battles they might have faced through the Bible stories or circumstances they faced. First, I'd like to read out of Proverbs 16, 1 through 9. And as we go throughout the morning, I would like us to try to remember some of these verses as we look at other illustrations of how people prepared themselves for what life had for them. Proverbs 16. The preparation of the heart in man is the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in his heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little righteousness than great revenue without right. A man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. There are some beautiful verses that are here before us, how the Lord, thinking of David there in devotions, how the Lord directed his path because he committed to him. He trusted in the Lord. And how powerful that is. I think when David spoke those words to Goliath, well, I don't know how Goliath's heart was, or what ran through his mind, because if those words came from, you heard an individual speak that to someone, the focus wasn't on David. The fear wasn't on David. It was on this arm or this God of the Israelites that had more prominence and more power in David's conversation to Goliath than that few little stones and slings. I don't know if Goliath even knew what hit him, but he knew whom he defied. Because David gave that clear message that you defy the armies of the living God. He went out prepared facing the battles. It's a beautiful devotions we had this morning. For the first individual we like to look at is another very familiar story. You can turn to Genesis chapter 6. Many of us have, this is another story, many of us as children have thoroughly enjoyed growing up thinking of Noah. But Hebrews 11, verse 6 and 7, I'd like to read them first as you're turning to Genesis chapter 6 there. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. Like I said, Noah, here in Genesis chapter 6, truly it was a step of faith and trust in something the world around him did not at all recognize. He was willing to step outside his comfort zone, step outside of human reasoning to tackle this task that was almost, it's a bigger task than you and I will ever be able to tackle, I believe. This ark. Let's read chapter 6. Let's start begin reading at verse 8. And we'll read to verse 22. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupt his ways upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in it, in the ark. Thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it, make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth 50 cubits, and the height 30 cubits. A window thou shalt make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And a door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof. With the lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of water upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh shall every sort shall thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of the fowls and of after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And to take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Again, we think of preparation. What Noah had to prepare here to save what God would want him to. He said every cattle, every bird, every creeping thing, and his own family. in the very last verse we read there, verse 22, it said, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So he did. He had a proper fear and trust of the Lord. Even though nothing, there has never been a flood on the earth. There's never been a boat like this before. But he had to pay attention to the instructions, the details, how God told him to lay it out. And as he did that, it showed his confidence into what God had for him. And God has given us a roadmap this morning, the Bible, that we have the same ability to have that haven. We'd like to look at that later on what we are preparing for. Sometimes we get hung up on the details. But we see Noah didn't overlook the details. He looked at them as critical parts in this structure. And if he would have overlooked them, if he would have decided to put two doors in or whatever he could have changed that structure, or decided to pitch it only without and not within, and overlooked the word of God, how God gave him, it would have been to his destruction. And so we, as we present the message of Jesus Christ, we have to present it as he's given it to us in his word. There's only one way, and that's the Bible way. That's through the blood of Jesus. There is no other way. There is no other door. There's one door to the Father. I'm sure that God could have chosen another avenue to save his creation. Being he's God, he's in control of everything. But he's a God who wants us to choose to follow him and follow his word. Thinking of people who God, or a person who God removed from this life, he looked at Noah and he seen him as a just man, one that feared the Lord upon the whole earth. He was the only one. I'm sure he could have treated him like Enoch. He just translated Enoch out of this world and took him to heaven. But he chose to have Noah follow specific details. And that's for you and I this morning, to follow the details. If God would have chose to follow or take Noah out of this world like he did Enoch, what kind of story would we have of God's greatness, of God's power, how God can miraculously move in with his creation? How our faith can be strengthened as we look back at these Bible accounts and see the greatness of God and how sovereign and awesome he is over the environment that he created, how everything is subject to his power. And I like how the Lord prepared or gave an opportunity, that might not be the word, for Noah. He took two of every kind. And if you read that account later on, but of the sheep, and I think doves, those that were prepared for worship, God said, take seven. God was giving Noah a choice, or I think he knew the heart of Noah, that after all this, after the flood was passed, and they come out of the ark, that Noah would worship God and praise him for miraculously saving his life. So what provisions are we, you might say, holding in worshiping the Lord? Has God given us opportunities in, I know he has, but what are we doing with those opportunities? Are we taking time to spread the word through our worship to our great God, like Noah did? He came out of the ark and he took the sheep and offered them as a sacrifice to the Lord in thanksgiving for saving him. Then God gave him certain things to do after he said, be fruitful, multiply. The work wasn't over. He had to continue on. There was another generation or generations to come that had to, that this story was handed down that we have today. And it was the faithfulness of Noah and his story, how that impacted the world. And that whole thing of the flood is such a beautiful picture, how people are still today marveling over what they're finding and how God moved. And yeah, people are willingly ignorant, thinking of the evolutionists and all that, how people are willingly believing a lie. But it gives us an opportunity to talk about this great work, how God preserved us. The next one we'd like to look at briefly is thinking of the children of Israel and their exodus out of Egypt. How God was preparing them, thinking of how he prepared, first of all, Moses. There, when he was but an infant, not knowing that, unbeknownst to him, what God was doing or what God was allowing. We know that Pharaoh was killing all the little boys. And here Moses was stuck in a little basket boat down by the river. And how God divinely moved through the unfortunate circumstances, you might say. Things that seemed like were going completely wrong. God was preparing somebody. God was preparing Moses to be this powerful leader. And then he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. I don't know what his parents thought at that point. Yeah, they saved, their son's life was saved. And he learned all the ways of Egypt. He was a wise man. He was well-learned in the ways of the Egyptians. And then we know he made a couple wrong choices there. And God took him Moses chose to flee to the backside of the desert to be that nobody. But God was still at work, preparing Moses to be a powerful leader. We don't always know, like we read there in Proverbs, we don't always know how God is directing your life and mine. We don't always know what God has in store for us. But as we take one step of our Christian life to another, and we open to God's Spirit, He will lead us in doing and accomplishing His will. And yeah, it might be not in all the great things, the big out front things, but it might be them small areas where souls are led to Christ here in New York City. And that is a great thing. One soul is worth more than the whole world. Yeah, we might not lead, I forget how many thousand people out of New York City. We might not lead 6,000 people, footmen, I think it says somewhere, or no, it was a bigger number than that, plus women and children. But we're called to this great work, like Moses was, to lead people to salvation and safety. But thinking of, turn to Exodus 12. Maybe we won't take time to read that passage of how God gave special instructions how they were to prepare themselves to leave the land of Egypt. We know it. Moses was, I'm not sure what word to use, bringing the plagues on, or God was using Moses to, bring the plagues on Egypt. And how the last plague was the death of the firstborn son. And we knew that God gave the children of Israel special instructions that was the beginning of the Passover, when if they applied the blood to the doorpost, that God was going to pass over. The death angel was going to pass over them. But they had to be prepared. They had to have their shoes on their feet, their staff in their hand, eating unleavened bread, killing that lamb. It was a dramatic experience. There was a lot to be done. But God said, you're going to have to do this in haste. You're going to have to be ready to leave at a moment's notice. And again, this all was orchestrated or directed by God as He prepared a man to do this great work in Egypt. and this large multitude of people leaving Exodus, exiting out of Egypt, and how people just, the wealth and the riches of Egypt, people gave to them that they might put them on their way, and they left as a mighty army. This people that was went from slaves that were being, had their mud, they had to start mixing their own mud, they had their straw taken from them. These were the down and out. This was the people that was despised in Egypt. And they left a great nation because they followed the instructions that God gave them. They followed those details, how God said, you're supposed to prepare yourself. You're supposed to be with your family and eat this Passover feast. And God has always done his part. God is always clear in giving the direction that we need to serve him. Maybe too often I can tend to have, okay, what's the next four steps? I would like to know what where I'll be in the end of the week as I prepare for the weekend. But God wants me to choose today. Just today. Serve me today. I'll direct your steps tomorrow and the next day. And that's why I believe what the children of Israel had to do. They had to do what they knew today. But we also know the children of Israel failed many times to see the great God that was preparing a way for them, that was preparing a nation. We know their journey through the wilderness, how they complained, how they doubted, how they failed to see Moses as a God-anointed authority. But yet he provided for them. He gave them manna to eat. He gave them water to drink. He gave them quail. He parted the Red Sea there. When you think of the Exodus of Egypt, they came up to the sea. There was no hope. They were trapped between the mountain and the sea, and the army was coming behind them. The fear and panic, but God made a way. God was preparing them, and all they had to do is trust him. How true is it for you and I today too, that we do the same, just simply put our trust in him and our confidence, and he will prepare, and he will guide and direct our steps. That's a promise we have, and too often I can fail in that, thinking that I have to try to figure it out. Switching to a New Testament account now. Turn to Matthew 25. Another very familiar account of preparation. I'm going to read the first 13 verses. This talks about the 10 virgins that were preparing or were too prepared for the wedding. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch ye yet therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Being prepared for the marriage supper. We know this is a parable. But it's for us today, as we're anticipating the Lord's return, as he comes back for the church, his chosen bride. Are we watching? Are we ready? Are we waiting? Has our accounts been settled? Are our hearts and minds washed? This invitation will be one time. when Jesus comes back. We see how these virgins, the foolish virgins were. They were not fully prepared. I'm not sure what Jesus was all implying here, but there was earthly things that weren't taken care of. And there's the five wise said, well, no, you go buy, lest we have not enough oil. We see personal accountability, personal commitment in doing our parts. These five foolish ones may have looked at each other and they compared themselves among themselves. They said, all is well. We're no different than you. But when they were told to go, the door was open. The bridegroom came. The door went shut and there was no room. And when the door was shut, they were outside because of not making proper preparation. I also see we are not in this, thinking of the five foolish virgins. There's many in the world today who are seemingly, we live in a blessed country here in America. But the deceitfulness of all that's around us, living haphazard lives, being not fully committed to the cause of Christ, wanting to enjoy the things of this world and the things of the kingdom. Jesus said it's either one or the other. Either you're going to serve me or you're going to serve the world. He wants our entire heart. He wants our full trust or our full confidence in Him. We can't enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season and expect to be entered or come to the open door. And we can't wait to the last minute to think we can spurn the opportunity and say, you know what, when I'm older, when I'm maybe in my 50s, after I experienced my youthful part of life, you know, the enjoying the pleasures of this world, but at a later date I'll come to you. I heard an account just recently of a man who was talking to an individual about his life. He was living a corrupt life, a wicked life. And as this Christian brother was speaking to me, he said, you need to repent. You need to forsake those ways. You need to come to the Lord. And the man's comment is a chilling comment. He said, he thought the Lord must not really care how he lives because he's like, I got good health. I can enjoy this, the sins I'm enjoying. Only to have a few weeks later, he was put in prison for the rest of his life, and he died in prison. Bondage. I'm not sure if he came to the light. I hope and pray that he came to the light there, came to the end of himself, and seen how he spurned the opportunity in his younger years. But that's like these virgins were here, these five virgins. They weren't serious about preparing their life to meet the Lord or meet the bridegroom. This morning, are you and I prepared? Jesus did his part. The provision was made. Before he came, before the world was created, there in 1 Peter, I think it talks about that, how before the foundation of the world, he loved us. He had a plan in place how he was going to redeem us back. Through the Old Testament times, how they sacrificed animals, it pointed towards something yet to come. And he came, he shed his precious blood on Calvary for each one of us. Is your life and my life magnifying that name this morning? Does our life show us that we are prepared to worship God at any moment? Jesus is coming back. How much today is it like the days of Noah, where there's violence, there's wickedness, there's lots of entertainment? Noah went to prepare that ark for 120 years, and something that never happened. He looked probably like a through the world's eyes, he looked like a foolish person. He built the boat on dry land. I don't know if there was a body of water around. But when we walk these streets, we're talking that this world's going to be destroyed by fire. These good times aren't always going to continue. And people look at us as weird. They'll call you Jesus freaks. Who's this guy you're talking about? But he's our Savior and our Lord. God did his part. He wants us to present his word. He freely gave his word. This morning, our little ones carry the word of God, the very precious word of God. They probably fully don't understand what they're holding at times. But this is a careful instruction. This is the careful path that Jesus wants us to walk. Just like he did in Noah, he gave instructions for them to follow. He gives us instructions for us to follow this morning. Are we taking those steps to lead others to Christ? He also gave us a freedom of choice. We think of that with the children of Israel, and with Noah as well, and David. Put his confidence in him. Ephesians 6. We have all it takes to prepare ourselves to go in this world. Let's read verses 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherein you may be able to stand always with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This morning, here we have the power it takes to live a victorious Christian life, to be properly prepared to stand against the evil that's around us. There in the last verse, it was saying we're to be ambassadors. We're not of this world. We're of another country. And that's not something to be ashamed of. An ambassador is, can I say, proud to be representing something else. He's not ashamed of where he's from. And that's for you and I this morning. We need to be excited that we're part of another kingdom. It's not from here. And we have what it takes to direct others to that kingdom. In Hebrews 12, verse 2 is another verse. Again, we talk about choice here. Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing also that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let's lay aside every weight and sin that doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here it sees that we're running a race. And we're familiar with seeing people run races. We know they're not carrying purses, sleeping bags, and lunch boxes. But they tried to minimize all things that would distract them or slow them down. And so you and I have to be, as we go throughout our lives, as we're serving the Lord, that we don't get entangled with all these strange things this world has to offer, whether it be in the entertainment or Yeah, we got to be cautious in our business activities, or that we don't hinder our service for this king, this goal we're trying to reach. And other beings that we have a choice. He gave us his word. He gives us a choice, but he also gives us his spirit. He wants to minister to our hearts. He wants to minister your heart and mind. He will nourish us. He will give us what we stand in need of. John 16. I was at Youth Institute Friday night, and Brother Lyndon spoke about the Holy Spirit and the gift it is and how it comforts us. And here, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he let me start over again. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore saith I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Here we see that the Spirit will show us the kingdom of heaven. He will guide us. He will give us what it takes to remain faithful and true. And we know we live in a world that is familiar with many spirits. We are told as Christians to try the spirits. The Spirit won't be contrary to the Word of God. And that's something we have to be daily on guard for or about, that we don't get persuaded with false teaching. But as we hear things, to personally pick up the Word of God and look for direction, ask God to show us His will, His way through His Word, and He will. He will guide us into all truth. First Peter. First Peter chapter 1. Let's read verse 13 through 25. Some more verses how we need to prepare ourselves, how we can help trim these worldly influences from our life, and how we can better our Christian life. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass your time in your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as the grass, and all glory of man is like the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which the gospel is preached unto you. This morning we have all it takes to be preserved unto that wedding when Jesus comes back to take his church home, to take come for that bride. This morning, this is a special service this morning as Jesus smiles on people who have set a time apart to come and look into the Word of God. It's not about the here and now. It's not about what we can get for tomorrow, but it's what we can do for him today. He is preparing a place for those who are choosing to live a life like those five foolish virgins. Matthew 25. This is a very sad account. About how God will treat those who spurn the call, who have pushed it off, or who have neglected to lay the cares of this world aside. Let's begin reading at verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall they say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Here we see how God is preparing a place for those who were willingly spurning the call, those who are choosing to live a life of selfishness, a life of ease. He prepared a place for them. It's one of everlasting fire. But we know the verses prior to that are these beautiful verses, how God has said, I'm preparing. He told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Jesus is coming back. He's prepared something that we cannot comprehend here on earth. Can you and I remain faithful till he comes again? We can, as we apply this word to our life. Verse 34, here at Matthew 25. These are the ones who have answered the call, who have lived a life for him, who have been of service, willingly doing what they knew how to live through the word. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And it goes down through the list of what those individuals did that have sacrificed and given their love and loyalty to the Father. Not for the glory for the here and now, but for preparing for something that was beyond. Same thing Noah did. He was looking beyond the here and now. He gave his life of service. And in Hebrews 11, there's many other accounts of faithful brethren who didn't see no earthly reward, who didn't see no earthly pleasure in committing their way, but were willing to be of use to the king. So God bless each of you all as you continue to take personal responsibility for your own life, and also as you help others to find that way, the way that's only it's going to bring that glory which only God can give, that not that one of earthly peace and earthly satisfaction, but the one of eternal. So, God bless you all here in New York as you endeavor to hold up the name of Jesus Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.